The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. "Real isn't how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked, "or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get all loosey in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand." This passage sat on the shelf highest above Pastor Craig's desk for the years that he served here. When I would walk into his office, sometimes my eyes would catch that quote. Several years ago, my eyes caught the quote, and this prompted a reread of the classic from which it comes, The Velveteen Rabbit, written by Marjorie Williams Bianco and published for the first time in 1922. The Velveteen Rabbit tells the story of a stuffed rabbit's desire to become real through the love of his owner. 500 years ago, Martin Luther was one among many voices who could not find for himself the real grace God intended for him. He could not find that grace while he was caught up in all of the rules and the rituals of the church of that day. Hidden behind the sharp edges and graceless practices, Luther pored over the scriptures, and he sparked a debate to cut away through the graceless facade, to challenge the church to return to the heart of what made the gospel of Jesus Christ most real. Even though he was a monk, even though he presided at communion and was a professor of Hebrew Bible, Luther could not find the grace that God had for him. Filled with angst and attempting to follow all the rules, he tried to be who he felt God was calling him to be. But he kept coming up short. If he was real with himself, he knew he could not live up to the high standard. If he was being honest, the real truth, the reality, was that he was really a mess up. And he realized that he was captive to the sinful nature that he believed would always be a part of him and everybody else. It was only when Luther had reached rock bottom that he came to experience a profound breakthrough. That God's grace comes not through our own efforts, not by anything he could do or perform, not through his successes or his piety, but through the sheer gift of God. And that there is nothing a person could ever do, no amount a person could ever pay, and through no effort could earn or initiate or deter the grace meeting us just where we are, full of the honest to goodness truth about ourselves and truth about who God is, which is the truth that really sets us free. To a group of people who were really tangled up in the way they thought things should be, who were so focused on the law but had lost sight of grace, Jesus releases their souls with just a few words. If you continue in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then later he says, if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. Free indeed from the things that separate us from others. Free indeed from the need to always be right. Free indeed from the manipulation or power that grabs the way that we trap ourselves or others into judgment or condemnation. Free indeed from even the ways that we hold our real selves captive because of Christ. It was right there in that passage that Sue read to us from Romans. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but they are justified, they are made right by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, effective through faith. So even when we are not right, especially at our very worst, the truth about ourselves is met with the truth of God and declares that we are free indeed. So what does that real, authentic freedom look like when you consider that possibility for reformation in your own life, or restoration in your relationships, or in the human community of this nation, or in the world? A quote I recently found read, "The truth will set you free, but first it will make you miserable." I know, right? Huh. And the real miserable truth is that we cannot free ourselves. We can't fix the brokenness at the center of our souls or at the center of our relationships or at the center of our church or even at the center of our nation. And yet, resting right in stillness, right within the tumult of the truth, is the power of God to really set us free. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God. Yes, we experience the shaking. Yes, we experience sin and death. But it does not have the final say. It does not have the stronger power, because in baptism, we had been set free already. And if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. But now in that regard, it's important to us to consider that freedom has a far more complex meaning for Christians than it does in a generic, general, patriotic context. As Americans, we think of freedom as the power of choice, life and liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And certainly that is freedom. But Martin Luther, in his work, The Freedom of a Christian, regards freedom slightly differently, especially when it comes to the bondage of our souls. Luther writes in his book, The Freedom of a Christian, "A Christian is Lord of all, completely free of everything. And a Christian is servant, completely attentive to the needs of all." Both Lord and servant. It sounds complex. It sounds like it doesn't really quite work together. But then he goes on to say, "It is in the very nature of love to be attentive to others and to serve the one who is loved." So it is with Christ. So it is for that kind of freedom we have been set free, to serve the one who is loved. And since our freedom in Christ is not cheap, but rather cost the Son of God his life, it is important for us to get real about the commitment and the sweat equity and the grief and the time and the exhaustion that that kind of Christian freedom takes as we live it out in this complex world out of love for the neighbor. In their faith statements, I asked our ninth graders who are confirmed this afternoon the question, if St. Andrew could help make a difference in the world, how do you think it should help? One student suggests that we continue to be about the work of being more accepting to people who aren't Christian. She says that we ought to be a part of spreading love and not hate. Another confirmation student invites us to think about providing emotional support to troubled families who are suffering from hardships, to give them hope and reassurance. Others said that St. Andrew should continue to be ready to tackle homelessness and poverty and hunger. Again and again throughout the week, I have been asking, if St. Andrew could be active in love and service in this community and the world, what would that look like? Some said we should consider being a community hub for people in our area who are hungering in body, mind, or spirit. Another encouraged us to put our good-hearted brains to work to help address the root causes of the immigrant crises in Central America and in the Middle East. To be an art community focused on sharing creative inspiration with the world, sharing the word, building community. To be a safe and loving place for children to learn and grow. To be a place where we care for veterans with PTSD. To be a place where we can find solace in the challenge of addiction or mental health issues. And those were just a few of the freedoms that I heard. You see, when our hearts say yes to God's grace for our real and whole selves, God responds with a world of opportunity to make a real impact, to be attentive to the needs of others, and to serve the one who Christ loves. I would dare to say that what makes faith real is exactly what made that Velveteen Rabbit real, is what perhaps we will discover also makes us to feel the most real as we go about addressing the real needs of those around us. What I'm talking about is love and the capacity that real, unending love, which comes to us from God the Father first, has to change a life for the better. Love from God for you is freedom indeed. Love from God for you is never failing. It's the most faithful kind of love a person could ever experience. And yet it's kind of hard for us to remember, so we lose hold of that for the good and for the bad. Because when life is going, well, smoothly, we can lose sight of how much we crave to be in relationship with our Creator. And conversely, when we experience heartbreak or the tough stuff of life, we often are left to wonder why on earth God would cause such a thing to happen. So we begin to wonder if God's love is really real, or if this is somehow all just made up. And so when we could not remember that love was at the center of God's law, Christ came to bring freedom. And we are free indeed. And when we could not remember that our freedom came by loving and serving others, God in Christ Jesus came to show us in his death a reformation beyond what we ever thought would be possible. That in the cross, that in his passion, that in his sacrifice of great love for you and for the whole world, and in his resurrection, there is hope for a future that is truly free indeed, very real, and completely a gift of God. Amen.